So let's look at this first handout, which is a three-way factorial ANOVA, where we have a factorial design. This was run in a laboratory. We're looking at three variables: the species of the animal, the age of the animal, and the food that's offered to the animal. We've got two ages. Well, let me show you putting stuff into SPSS. SPSS doesn't care how many fixed factors you have. When we had a two-way design, we had two variables in here. Now that we have a three-way design, we have three variables in there. Okay, that one's easy. Make sure that we ask for the descriptive statistics. And then here is our design. We have painted turtles and snapping turtles. The painted turtles, some of them are 3 days old, some of them are 3 months old. Same with the snappers, 3 days and 3 months. And then we have three different types of food, and this is a between groups comparison, so each animal was either a painted or a snapping turtle. You knew that one. But age was done as a between groups comparison. The same animals were not tested at 3 days and 3 months, because what we're interested in is naive food preference. And it's no problem to a little baby turtle to not offer it food for several months, because when they come out of the egg, they've got a big old yolk sac. And in the wild, especially in places that have frost and winter, those baby turtles don't come out of the egg until the next spring. They stay in that egg underground, usually pipped in August, and they stay there till the next March or April to come out, and they're sustained by that egg yolk. So we're not being nasty to baby turtles here. Waiting 3 months to put something in front of them to snap at doesn't hurt them at all. We had to run this as a between groups design rather than a within groups design because, again, we wanted to study naive food preference. Also, there are some challenges with turtles in that they're not really, really bright. And it turns out that if you're trying to figure out whether they prefer live crickets, ground meat, or lettuce, which I'll explain in a minute, it matters. The results you get matter whether you run that between or within. You think you're putting three food choices out there in front of that turtle. Turtle doesn't think so. The turtle notices one thing and approaches that one thing. You cannot effectively get a 3-day-old turtle to choose between things. The only thing you can get good data on is whether or not they'll approach that and how many times they'll try to eat it. So this is sort of strange because we're used to, if you're going to do a preference study, I put it out in front of you and say, pick one. Right? Well, it took years and years to figure out why nobody was able to get the right consistent results until a buddy of mine went back and reanalyzed the data of which there was a lot of videotape. And what the animal did is it picked whatever was in front of them. We would array three, sometimes people were trying to array five different things in front of them, and whatever they were like looking at, wherever they had their head pointed, when you took the screen away, that's what they went over and tried to eat. So that's not going to work. So that's why this is a completely between groups design, even though it seems like, why don't we run this within groups? Because we're interested in naive food preference. And why are we running this between groups? Because they can't choose. Okay? And that's the kind of thing that can screw up research for a long time. There's an awful lot of phenomena in cognitive and perceptual psychology where you get interestingly different results whether you run it between or within. And if you run it within, you get different results whether or not you counterbalance or whether you do sort of a natural order. You know, control group first, then the experimental group. Standard educational practice first, then the new thing. Because that second condition is not only a different condition to the design, but it's the second time through the process. And depending upon the phenomena, that second time may get better because they're either engaged or practiced, or it could get worse because they're bored. We found different order effects for high school students and junior high school students taking basically the same mathematical training comparison. Because the eighth graders thought it was cool to try something new, and you know how high school students are. They're getting ready to be bored young adults. So, we have this complex design, and I want to tell you that this is a subset of the real study. The real study, we had all seven indigenous species in Nebraska. We had baby turtles, all seven kinds in Nebraska, each year for three consecutive years. I have the most indulgent wife ever, because they were all at the house. Pile of turtles like this every August. Don't let her fool you. She's a sucker for baby turtles. We followed them from 3 days up to 9 months in different intervals. And we had 11 different foods. Because this was all, an ecology group was paying us for this, and Purina was writing us a big check. Because Purina produces most of the food used by both people who study turtles and people who raise turtles. And so they wanted to know how to make their food more palatable, because if you can't get the little thing to eat, it doesn't matter how good the nutrition of the food is, they have to eat it. And you can't, there's a lot of things you can't do with a baby turtle. So the reason for the live crickets, the ground meat, and the lettuce is we were trying to find things that were easy to manipulate. The live crickets were designed to represent stinky moving things. You probably haven't been really close to a lot of crickets. Crickets smell really bad, especially up close. And crickets move. The ground meat, and the specs on this are actually laid out in the next handout more, but the ground meat was very carefully putrefied to represent carrion. And the lettuce was specially prepared to represent, you know, pond weeds and stuff like that. So we had all this stuff going on in this big study. This is enough to keep us interested. And notice that the way this was constructed was equal N. So there were eight animals in each condition, and you may say to yourself, eight? Eight? Come on. I've seen the power table before. Medium-sized effect, standard amount of power, 82 people in two conditions. That means I need 40. I got 20% of that. How the hell? Baby turtles. Not a lot of heterogeneity. Not a lot of personality differences. Not a lot of experiential or opportunity differences. This is a very homogeneous group. This is counts of the number of bites they took at the food. Look at those standard deviations. If you look within conditions, those standard deviations are for the most part around one. That means that 96% were within four bites of each other. Very stable data. Lots of power. Small standard deviation, even with a small n, small standard error, need a tiny confidence interval, little tiny p-values. And because you would expect this in a very powerful study, we got everything. We have a main effect for species, a main effect for age, and a main effect for food offering. We've got all three two-ways and the three-way. And some of those f-values are huge. I'd also like to point out the way the data were set up. If you take a look in the interface, it says species, age, and then this is food offering. And the order in which they appear top to bottom in the interface is the way they appear left to right in the table. This was primarily a study about food preference. So that food preference is our core variable. That's what we really care about. Which do baby turtles prefer? And then, is that moderated by age? And is that relationship further moderated by species? If this had been a species study, and it was for some guys, for some people, the only thing they really cared about was these data and these data. And when I set this up for them, in here was painted in Snapper. Painted in Snapper, painted in Snapper, painted in Snapper, painted in Snapper, 6 times. For 3 different foods, for 2 different ages. Because what they really cared about is there a species eating vigor difference? And is that moderated by age and food? Make sense? See, it really, you need ahead of time to figure out how you're going to structure this. What is your primary variable? What is your primary moderator? What is your secondary moderator? And from the very beginning, when you set up the data, you should set it up that way to maximize ease cranking out your data. In terms of the statistical results?
Yeah, first no. They come out in that table.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. That's the only thing that controls it. The top to bottom order matches the left to right order.
Okay.
So the first thing I put in is species. It's on the left. The next thing I put in was age. It's in the middle. The last thing in there was food offered. It's on the right.
And that depends on
whatever you want. Yeah, you can. Yes. Yep. Whatever you want, however you want to represent it. To tell you the truth, I usually end up doing it lots of different ways and looking at whether I made the right decision about how I think I want to represent it. Because when we do it this way, I mean, we've got 2 species, we've got 2 ages, we've got 3 kinds of food. I have just set this up for the most annoying possible pattern, because now I have to show how the pattern across foods differs 4 times. And I need those follow-ups, because if I get a significant difference, I still don't know where it is. But like I say, this was a study in food preference, so that's the way I set up my primary variable. Great question. We have a significant 3-way interaction, and so we need to be able to describe how the pattern of the age by food offering is different for painted and snapping turtles. And that means we have to be able to compare cell means and decide which cell means are different from which other cell means. And that means I need an LSD minimum mean difference. And so I need to take the degrees of freedom error from the ANOVA table, the mean square error from the ANOVA table, and the other thing I need is small n. And small n is large n, which is 96 total turtles, divided by k, which is the number of conditions in that effect. It's a 2 by 2 by 3 design, so I need 96 people spread across 12 conditions, 8 on average. So that's the number that goes into computing the LSD minimum mean difference. And these formulas are not here because I want you to use them by hand. You have the computator, use that. But a lot of people have their kids do these by hand, so I leave it in there. And also I can point at it and say, here's the things you got to go find. I need the degrees of freedom error, I need the mean square error, and I need N, and that's how to go get N. The secret to getting this done well is to take your time. Do those intermediate steps, write it out. There's 2 steps. 1, go collect your cell means into the patterns, and then set up the pairwise comparisons. We've got 3 conditions, cricket, ground meat, and lettuce, which means we have to compare crickets to ground meat, crickets to lettuce, and ground meat to lettuce. And we have to do that twice, once for 3-day-old and once for 3-month-old painted, and then twice more for 3-day-old and 3-month-old snappers. Once you take your time and lay that out, you got the LSD minimum mean difference, and from then on in, it's all about the pointies. 9 is more than 1.95 bigger than this. 9 is more than 1.5 bigger than that. These two are not different. Pointies, pointies, pointies. Now I can describe the pattern of the interaction. We can see that that for painted turtles, 3-day-olds prefer crickets to everything else. 3-month-olds don't care. For snapping turtles, crickets and ground meat are equivalent, Both are better than lettuce for three-day-olds. Three-month-olds still don't care. Okay, so the difference here is that young painted turtles seem to prefer that combination of stinky and moving over just stinky or neither. This reduces to a stinky moving still study because the lettuce doesn't stink. Three-month-old pig, they'll do anything. You put anything in front of them, they go after it. Snapping turtles, stinky's enough. It doesn't have to be moving. And that's how this two-way, this simple two-way is different than this simple two-way, and that's what defines the three-way. How are we doing? Now, we know a whole bunch of things from this. In particular, we know that whenever the two-way age by food interaction is, it's misleading. Because the simple two ways of age and food are different across species. Only one of those two, and maybe neither of them, matches the main two-way. So we know that that two-way is going to be misleading. We also know that the main effect of food preference is going to be misleading because we got three different kinds there. And they can't all match the main effect pattern. And that's the two reasons we're going to start with the most complicated, highest order interaction first. It's probably the sexiest results we have. It's probably the reason for running the study. And it sets up foreshadowing for our good readers that they know these other sorts of conditionalizing statements are coming about what effects are descriptive and what effects are misleading and have to be stated carefully. If we want to look at the two-way interaction of age and species, and this was the two-way that the feeding vigor people were most interested in, they were comfortable aggregating across the three different kinds of food because they just want to know whether there's a feeding vigor difference across these four conditions. And particularly, they want to know if there's an age difference in feeding vigor and if that age difference is different across species. That was their ecological interest. That's the way they posed the two-way interaction coming out of their literature, so that's the way we set it up. For painted turtles and for snappers, we want to compare 3 months to 3 days. In order to compare these semi-marginal means, I need an LSD minimum mean difference, but I need a different LSD minimum mean difference than I needed last time because these semi-marginal means are based on a different number of turtles. So we go get the same degrees of freedom error because it's a between groups factorial. The error is one error term. It's used for all seven effects. So we need the degrees of freedom error and the mean square error. That hasn't changed. But for this interaction, we are spreading those 96 turtles now across just four conditions. So our power is based on comparing means that average representation is 24 instead of 8. So this two-way interaction has a lot more power to explore than the three-way interaction, and that could lead to some funky results. We don't get anything ugly here, but you might find that a mean difference of a particular size is significant here in this more powerful follow-up that is not significant here in the less powerful follow-up. And so sometimes what you have to do is pair all of these significance tests with an effect size estimate, so that you can keep track of what non-significant differences you want to call power problems. Because we got that same effect to be significant in a more powerful version or term in the model.
So how do you do the effect size with the LSD?
You do the effect size the same way you did when you were doing K-group ANOVA. You go into the middle of the computator or the page in the Excel that says pair means, and you put in the mean for one group, the mean for the other group, the error term, and there it is, it loves you. It goes on for a while. That's why we have research assistants. because you know you got to crank out one effect size for every pairwise comparison, but you don't have to do it by hand. Well, we know we have a significant three-way interaction. And because we have a significant three-way interaction, all six lower order effects are suspect. And we have to check each one, whether it's significant or a null, to see if it's a descriptive or a misleading statement. Can we make this descriptive pattern that for painted and for snappers, 3 months show greater vigor than 3 day, but the effect is bigger for painted than snappers? Can we say that? Because they wanted to. They liked that. Well, in order to do that, what we need to do is compare the pattern of this two-way interaction with the pattern of the corresponding simple two-way at each condition of the third variable. So here, these means, these semi-marginal means, are formed by aggregating across food type. Now we have to disaggregate that or take it apart. So here's age by species for crickets, for ground meat, and for lettuce. And here's the really important part. When we're looking at these effects, we are back to looking at the 12-cell means. And when we're comparing the 12-cell means, we have to use the appropriate LSD minimum mean difference for the 12-cell means. So our basis for comparison here is going to be 1.95. So 3 months more than 3 days for painted, but not for snappers. So for crickets, we don't quite get this. Now, in order to decide whether it's a power problem, because we have less power here with n's of 8 than here with n's of 24, we would want to take a look at the effect size here and the effect size here. And I can tell you that this effect size is really, really small. There's only a quarter of a byte difference on average. So it doesn't look like this is going to hold up because it doesn't match the first one we look at. For ground meat, we get the same basic pattern. We get a big effect for painted. We get nothing for snappers. For lettuce, however, we get a big age effect for painted and a big significant for snappers. And so the difference between lettuce and ground meat and crickets produced the pattern of the two-way. This is a misleading two-way because the only place we actually get it is for lettuce. But it's so strong for lettuce that it made the semi-marginal means have that pattern. And you got to watch out for that. You got to watch out for when one part of a complex design is producing everything. Here's a great example. If you have this pattern of data, two ways of describing this. You could say, I've got an interaction because this simple effect's different than that one. I've got a main effect because that's bigger than that, but it's only descriptive here, not there. And I've got a main effect because this is bigger than that, although it's only descriptive here and not there. Or you might say, I know I have a factorial design, but let me make this simple for everybody. Big, all small. Right? And depending upon what these conditions are, that might be the best way to tell the story in the long run. That it might not really be about interactions and main effects that are descriptive or misleading. It might be that that pattern of data is, that one's different than the other three. So you've got to think about and do a little babysitting and caretaking of your readers. Because remember, these are your results that you worked really hard to collect and analyze those data, integrate this into the literature, and write and edit. And when that thing goes out, it has to stand by itself. It's not like a poster or a presentation at a conference where you're there to continue to babysit your stuff. When you're publishing, you send it out into the world by itself. Depending upon the level of the journal, sometimes you're sending it to high school, sometimes you're sending it to college, sometimes you're sending it to medical school. But you have to think about, from the very introduction of the introduction, how am I going to set up the way I talk about this for just one thing? Well, two. One, they're impressed, and two, they carry the right information away. That's the art and craft of writing research reports. Setting them up so that they say, oh, this is cool. And then they know what's cool and they get it right. We also have three main effects. And again, we're just going to show you one, because if you can do it one, you can do it for all of them. This was fundamentally a study about food preference. And so we were interested in, is there a difference between moving and stinky, stinky, and, you know, quiet and sweet smelling? We have a significant effect. There's three conditions, so we need to follow up. Notice now we have the same degrees of freedom error. We have the same mean square error, but now we're spreading those 96 folks across just, not folks, 96 turtles across just three conditions. So each of these marginal means is based on an average of 32, because we have equal n exactly 32. And based on that, our LSD minimum mean difference is even smaller, because our significance test is even more powerful. We only need a 0.97 difference. And when we do that, everything's different than everything else. Again, these aren't large differences. It doesn't take a hungry little turtle very long to peck two or three extra times. But because we have very homogeneous samples and very powerful effects, those small differences seem to be reliable. Or to use the language we've been using since the second unit of 941, these mean differences in the sample seem to be big enough to act as if there are mean differences in the population. And Purina did. Purina changed the nature of the stink in their food. They introduced an additional ingredient into the Purina turtle chow. I shit you not, Purina makes a turtle chow. Now they make two turtle chows that smell different depending upon the species you're feeding it to. Because some are more vegetarian and some are more carnivorous and carrion. That was the good news, is the carnivores and the carrion eaters like the same kind of stink. That's really what we're doing. We're talking about a $1 billion industry. At the time we were doing this in the late 80s, they were selling right around $12 billion worth of food to zoos. And they changed the production line. They changed the ingredient set. They went back and they got new patents based on that 2-point difference. Because that 2-point difference is big enough to believe, given the power of the study. Okay? Now, I know that some of you come from a richer statistical background, and talking about data analysis using words like believe is not the way you were raised. But when you're talking about spending roughly $16 million to refit a production line, change and protect that change legally, you got to believe. I don't want to hear p-values. I want to hear, God damn it, what's going on out there. This is based on 48 turtles. Holy shit, Batman. I got to believe. This is our overall pattern. And the question is, are we good? Or do we have to take into account that turtles come in different ages and they come in different species? And in order to make that comparison, we have to look at the pattern of this main effect here, oops, with what we got here. See, here we got everything's different than everything else. Here we got the exact opposite effect for 3-month-old turtles. Now we got to decide how much of this is a power decrement and how much of this is a different effect. And again, the way you do that is you look at the effect sizes. If these effect sizes are about the same size as the other thing, then maybe these are power problems. If these effect sizes are really little, maybe it really doesn't matter. And we've got different patterns here and here than those main effects. The other thing I have is on the end of this, we've got an example of a write-up. The only difference between this and what you'll do in your homework is instead of doing the reporting the LSD, you'll just, whenever you talk about, like you say, three-day painted turtles preferred crickets to ground meat, you would have just parenthetically there put the p-value from the pairwise comparison you get out of SPSS. That's a fairly standard procedure. All right, now let's look at